Have you ever seen commercials or programs for refugees? They're asking for money to feed them, to drill wells, for medical supplies, to build shelters, and you just look and you go, what can I possibly do? What can I possibly do? The need is so huge, and what I have to give seems like nothing at all. How could it help? How about the homeless in our Canadian cities? I mean, there are thousands of them who need food, shelter, health care, clothes. Yet when we look at them, we feel overwhelmed. My little bit of time or money will really do nothing. We can feel discouraged. We can feel downcast. We can think, what's the use of even trying? What I have to give, what I can offer, is it of any use? It's only a drop in a bucket. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask to take another offering. You can all just sit and relax. I'm not asking for your money. God might ask you for some money, but I'm not. I want to talk to you about more than money. I want to talk about our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our time. How many of us are like Moses? Moses was educated in Pharaoh's palace. He had the best education going. And when God asked him to do something, he said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? We read that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Who am I? Who am I when I look at all these hungry people and all these needs, both around the world and here in our communities? Who am I that I should be able to do anything? What I've got, Lord, is only a drop in the bucket. Moses, well-educated. But it sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Who am I, God, that you should use me? I don't have what it takes. And what I have, is it really worth anything? Is it worth using? It is of no real value to such a huge task. Really, God, send someone else to my neighbor, to my community, to my backyard. Send someone else, because what I have is only a drop in a bucket. Let's go back a couple of thousand years. Jesus is teaching around the region of Galilee. His reputation has preceded him. He's come, and people know of his reputation. Wherever he talks, people are healed. He is a man filled with wisdom and understanding. He's a man of compassion and love. And so many have come to hear his teaching and think that maybe, just maybe, Jesus will heal me. Maybe he'll touch my life. And so they come, and they all sit around the Sea of Galilee. There are many, mostly fishermen and farmers. They would have been heavily taxed by the Romans. Some of the farmers might have lost their farms to the elite farmers who have swallowed up the bigger farmers that have swallowed up their farms, and now they have nothing. This crowd is not a wealthy crowd. It's a crowd of 5,000 people, or 5,000 men, plus their families, the women and children, and they've gathered to hear Jesus. In John chapter 6, and verses 5 and 7, we read these words. When Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not be enough bread for each to have a bite. Even if we had 8 months' wages, Lord, to spare, it's only a drop in the bucket. It's not even enough money to buy bread so everyone could have one bite. What good is that little that we have when there's so many that are hungry? Oh, but listen to verses 8 and 9 in John chapter 6. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? 5 small loaves and 2 small fish? We're not talking about big sturgeon out of the Fraser River. We're not talking about, you know, loaves of bread that are in the Guinness Book of Records, maybe, that are huge. We're talking about a boy's lunch here. I can imagine what Philip thought when he heard Andrew's comment. This is ridiculous. I just said that 8 months' wages wouldn't even buy enough food. And you bring a little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish? What are we going to do with that? It's a drop in the bucket when trying to feed all these people. There's no way it will work. I want to stop here for a few moments. How did Andrew know the boy had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? I mean, really, how did he even know that that boy had a lunch? Andrew says, here's a boy. He wants to share his lunch. There's 5,000 men there, and the women and the children. Where is this boy? He's obviously not at the back of the church. He's not in the middle, because how would he even know if he was at the back of the crowd or in the middle of the crowd? How would he even know that they were looking for food? I'm sure they didn't say, hey, is there anybody out here that's got some food that we could use? Like, there's a few people that are hungry here and we need some of your food. Would you just bring it forward? I'm sure they didn't announce that, because Jesus had just asked Philip about it. That little boy, we're not sure how little he is, but that boy had to be sitting at the front. Whether he was with his father or whether he was alone, he was at the front. He was close enough to hear Jesus say to Philip, we need to feed these people. How are we going to do it? He was that close. He was paying attention to what was going on. He wasn't daydreaming. He wasn't playing on his video games. He was paying attention. He heard Jesus' concern. Andrew sees the boy? No, probably more like the little boy heard what Jesus said. And he knew Andrew was one of the disciples, and he took his lunch to Andrew and said, look, I've got these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. I'm really not sure what can be done with them. And Andrew probably took the little boy to Jesus. How many times are we in the crowd of people, perhaps even in church, when our minds are wandering and we're not really hearing? We're hearing, but we're not really hearing. I hope that's not happening this morning. But, you know, we're not really present. But this little boy, he knew Jesus was there, and that's who he came to hear from. And he was attentive. He heard Jesus probably say, how are we going to feed these 5,000? If we will get as close as we can to Jesus and offer him what we have, he will use it for his glory. He will use it. No matter what we have, if we will get close to him, and offer it to him, he will use it. Now, most of us aren't superstars. We are not great musicians, singers, speakers. We don't have a lot of time, extra time, and an extra money. But we do have gifts and talents. Every one of us has gifts and talents. God came to Isaiah, and we read in Isaiah chapter 6, 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am. Send me. This is what I have. Use it.'" What we have, no matter how big or small, just needs to be made available. That's all the Father's asking. "Here it is, Lord. This is what I have. 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. It's yours. Use it however you want to use it. Whether you just want it for yourself or you want to use it some other way. Send me, Lord. Use the little I have." Not only do we see this boy gets into the presence of Jesus and makes himself available and what he has available, but he gives all he has to the Lord. He gives it all to him. In John chapter 6, verses 10 to 11, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. There is plenty of grass in that place," and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. The boy had only a small lunch. He was probably hungry. He could have had other family members there. Maybe that lunch was to at least share with his brothers and sisters, his mom and his dad. I don't know. Maybe he was packing the lunch. Maybe he gave it all away. The boy was not selfish. We don't read that he gave most of the food away. "Well, here's 4 loaves of bread and 1 fish. Or here's 1.5 fish. I just need that half of that little mackerel and just 1 loaf of bread. That would be great. But here, use the rest." No. He says, "Here's it all. Here's the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. Here's my lunch, Lord. Use it." There's a similar account in Luke chapter 21, verses 2 to 4. We read this, and this is Jesus. "He," Jesus, "also saw a poor widow put her 2 small copper coins. I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth. She, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." The boy and the widow made all they had available for the kingdom of God. All they had. What also is astounding is that they're not ashamed of what they offer. The widow doesn't go, "Oh, I've only got 2 small coins. You know, it would probably be better if I just sort of pushed my hand across the offering box and just made it look like I had a lot more. Or maybe not give anything. And people will think I'm just giving next week." Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about offerings here. The little boy might have said, "You know what? I've only got 5 small fish, or 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Really, I'm not even going to take it. I'm embarrassed. I'm not even going to take it there. I'm not even going to give Andrew it." Others around the boy, like Philip and Andrew or others, who were giving at the temple when the lady was there might have saw her offering or saw the small lunch that the boy offered and snickered and thought, that's all you've got to give? That's all you've got to give is two small coins or that small lunch? That's all. How silly. Can you see what? Oh. You know, that little boy and that widow gave from a humble heart. They gave from their heart. The Bible only refers to them as the boy and the widow. In a sense, I think they're only referred that way in the Bible because they weren't interested in fame. They weren't interested in being known as Joe, the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or Martha with the 2 small coins. No, they humbly gave what they knew God had supplied. See, God had given them the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God had given her the 2 mites. It was his to start with. Blessed are those who are humble and willing to give without looking for recognition. God does not look at the size of the gift. He looks at the heart. He looks at our heart and uses the gift for his glory. The boy made his lunch available and gave it all. He also gave it to the right person. Many there that day were hungry. 5,000 men plus the women and children. I'm sure that little boy could have held up his lunch and said, who would like this? I'm not hungry today. And many would have said, I'll take it. But the boy gave it to the one who could do the most with it. He gave it to Jesus. The boy had faith. He obviously believed Jesus could use what he had, or he would not have given him the food. Andrew and Philip had walked with Jesus, had seen him perform so many amazing miracles, yet did not believe Jesus could even use the boy's food. I mean, we read, you know, like, so what good is this little lunch among so many? I don't think the boy was looking at what he had made available, but he was looking to who he made it available to. Listen to Matthew 19, verse 26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are impossible. With man, 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish are completely impossible to feed 5,000 people, plus the women and children. In fact, it's impossible probably to feed 2 dozen people with that amount of food. But with God, all things are possible. And the little boy handed the food over to Jesus. Sometimes, if you're like me, want to see it all perfect and already all set out and it's going to work. Like, okay, we're going to have 100 people for a Christmas dinner. So I want to make sure that we're going to have enough food for 100 people. I don't know how many times we've been at places and we've prayed and I've thought, oh, I don't know if we're going to have enough food. And God's always supplied. I don't know if there's going to be enough money to do that project. And God's always supplied. See, God is a multiplier. He's a multiplier. I mean, when we give him our tithes and offerings and he says, you can live on the 90% better than you can live on the 100%. He's the God of miracles. He just wants us to give the little we have to him. A little given to Jesus will go a lot further than a lot in the hands of others. John chapter 6, verses 12 to 13, sort of wrap up the scene there. It says, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. 5,000 people plus had eaten from those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They're all satisfied. And there's 12 baskets of bread left over. More than they started with. He only had 5 small barley loaves to start with. They fed all these people, and they have 12 baskets left over. I think that's pretty amazing. Even if someone had 8 months' wages, it was not enough. It's not what we have, but whose hands we place it in. Let me illustrate. My wife, Kathy, you all know who she is, took piano lessons back in Kimberley. I think that's when she started taking piano lessons back in Kimberley. And she took them for a number of years. And if you asked her, because we've had a piano in our house since I went to Bible college and Lee started taking piano lessons. So people come in and say, "Oh, do you play the piano?" And Kathy would say, "No, I don't play the piano. I play at playing the piano. I play at playing the piano." In other words, she was saying, "I'm not very good. I just do it for my own enjoyment. I don't play for anybody else, except me, because I could hear her play." And about 6 years ago in Nanaimo, we were doing a senior home service, and the piano player couldn't come. So I started phoning around, and I could not get a piano player. And Kathy had said this. God had spoken to her not long before that. And she said this: "God, if you can use my little bit, then I am willing." And so she said to me, "Scott, I will play. I don't know what it's going to be like. And the song leader has to sing these songs, because these are the only songs I know how to play." And so the song leader said, "Sure, we can sing those songs." And you know, it was great. God used a little bit. Well, a few months later, there was a senior service. We did 3 senior services in Nanaimo. And there was a senior service in the Kiwanis. And not only did we not have a piano player, it was in the summertime, not only did we not have a piano player, we didn't have a song leader. And as you know, I can't lead songs. And so Kathy said, "Well, I can do it. Maybe. I've never played." And I said, "Well, you can play. Look, you did great playing." And she says, "It's way different just playing and singing. And leading." I said, "Why?" Because I've heard her sing. Like, she plays at the piano and sings. But she's way different. What would I know? Anyhow, "God, if you can use my little bit, I am willing." And so she did it. Wow. What a stretch for Kath. Then, I don't know how many months later, we started getting involved in the prison ministry in Nanaimo. And we would go every week. But we actually, our church did the service once a month. And Kathy started playing the piano and leading the worship. Well, we did 3 services on that. Every week we did 3 services out of the prison, because you couldn't mix the inmates with the different, from different groups. And Kath did that. And she was really nervous to do it. But, you know, the inmates are really gracious, and they loved it. And they complimented her and encouraged her. But let's move forward. We came here to Cache Creek, and our daughter didn't come to church one Sunday. I can't believe it. Must have been soccer. It was. And they needed a piano. They needed a piano player, and they'd heard that Kathy could play the piano. So they asked her if she would play, and she said, "God, if you can use my little bit, I'm willing." She had never played in a church service before she played here. She played in seniors' homes. She played in seniors' services at the church in Nanaimo. She played in the prison, but never. See, it's not what we have. It's whose hands we put it in. We must not look down on our gifts. And far too often as people, we look down on our gifts. We go, it's nothing. It's only a drop in the bucket. It is nothing. But no matter how big or how small it is, it's a gift that God has given. And He gives it not for us, but He gives it for the body to be used. We all have something to bring to Jesus. We can bring it to Him, and He can multiply it for the kingdom of God. Jesus multiplies each drop we put into the bucket to fill it to overflowing. I couldn't find a picture of a bucket overflowing. But He fills it to overflowing. He uses all those gifts. It might be helping with Kids Zone, greeting people on a Sunday morning, cutting the church lawn, helping the neighbors or strangers. It might be just giving somebody a ride to church or just talking with a friend or a stranger. It can be anything, but God has given us all gifts. Some people have the gift of hospitality. Some have the gift of encouragement. Some have the gift of sharing. There is many gifts that God's given us. I'm not asking you to do everything, but if we just each do and use the gifts that God has given us, if we just offer them to Him and allow Him to say, Scott, can you change the lights on the outside of the church building? Sure, I know how to do that. Or I have this ability. Oh, Scott, I don't need you to do that right now. But thanks for offering. That's what God will say. Thanks for offering. Maybe it's leading a Bible study. Whatever. Maybe some of you are amazing piano players and you're just saying, no, I don't really play much. God wants to use your gifts. If we each of us would be available and give our gifts to Jesus, He will multiply it for the kingdom and for His glory. 2/3 of the earth is covered in water. 2/3. Have you ever been out in an ocean or a big lake and looked and gone, wow, that's a lot of water? Do you know what that water is made up of? Drops. Each lake is made up of a million, billion, zillion drops. Each ocean of drops. Will we give our gifts, each drop, to Jesus? He will multiply them and fill the bucket.